free kids workshops are back in stores at the Home Depot. On the first Saturday of every month, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., bring your little ones to a local Home Depot for a hands-on learning experience that kids love. Find more kid-friendly projects and kids' workshop kits at homedepot.com/kids. For 25 years, the Home Depot has been building confident, future doers with its free kids workshops. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. While supplies last, U.S. only.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back, and we have with us tonight Diane Sayre, and she is an independent candidate running for Chuckie Schumer's seat there in New York for U.S. Senate. Diane, before we go any farther, we want to level the playing field as best we can for you, because of all of that dark money, and I mean dark money that Chuckie Schumer has. Tell the folks out there how they can help you in your campaign.
Well, thank you. You can donate. You can sign up to volunteer at SayreForSenate.com, and I'll spell my last name. It's four letters, S like Sunday, S-A-R-E, F-O-R, Senate, S-E-N-A-T-E.com. That's my website. People can visit it. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter, and I just started doing TikTok. I must say, I find TikTok really alarming. Every time you turn it on, you get assaulted by half-dressed people shaking things. But if you can avoid that, so SayreForSenate.com.
SayreForSenate.com. Okay, SayreForSenate.com. Very good. Now listen, a lot of people don't know this, but I do. There are a lot of folks out there my age that don't have computers. They're not on the Internet. In fact, some of those folks don't like computers at all, like me. And
but well, how about a phone number? Can I give out a phone number?
That'll work.
Okay, great. It's 646-328-1932.
Okay, 646-328-1932. It's 646-328-1932. A few folks, and look, in New York, here's someone who beat the odds. She's managed to, she had to do really hard work. She had to really work hard to get all of those signatures because, again, it's not a level playing field. I think we really need to send a message to Chuckie Schumer. We really do. And, Diane, what are you going to do? I mean, there, you're, like I said, you're not only against dark money, but election fraud. You know, Chuckie Schumer, you talk about corruption and election fraud. You can't. You got to expect the very worst, right?
Well, sure. And I have to say, I'm really pleased. There's a group called New York Audit, which has been doing some phenomenal work, and they have been proving certain fraudulent practices in New York, and they are working with candidates. They cannot endorse. You know, they want fair and transparent elections, but there are certain measures that can be taken before the fact, because frankly, since we have a secret ballot after the election, there's really, you're hard pressed to prove how we tried this once with Lyndon LaRouche, who I worked with for the last 33 years. And this was before my time as a political activist, but LaRouche's colleagues proved that when Jimmy Carter got elected, there were millions of dead people who had voted. And they went to court, and the judge said, well, okay, you've demonstrated that a lot of dead people voted, but you can't prove that those votes went to Carter. Secret ballot, right? So we have to clean up this process before the election, everything we can do to that end. And I'll tell you, I think Americans, if they had confidence that the process, that their vote had been fairly counted once and their neighbor's vote had been fairly counted once and not all kinds of other crazy shenanigans, people would put, they would say, okay, suppose you lost or your candidate lost. You'd say, you know, I guess I maybe misjudged what my colleagues were thinking, or I'm going to do a better job campaigning, or maybe I didn't make my case clear enough, and they would fight, and they would do better the next time. But when you have a system where you are certain that your vote is not fairly counted, then it's extremely problematic, similar to the question of justice. If you feel that you cannot go to a court and get justice, what are you left with? What can you do? And I think this is one of the worst things we're seeing, is Americans have this terrible sense of powerlessness because these crucial instruments of a Republican form of government, how do you have representative government? Well, they have to represent your view. If you have no pathway to make your view known, or that it has teeth, that your congressman can stick his tongue out at you and say, I don't give a damn what you think because it's all locked up, well, that's a problem. But I will say there's been some work going on here, which I think is quite promising. Will it be in time? Will we have everything cleaned up by November? No, probably not. But I think we can get some areas, some districts, some municipalities are cleaning things up, and they are going to have adequate observers and so on. And I think it's heartening. You know, this is the American process. People are refusing to give up. It's too precious.
Let me ask you this, because here's the question. A lot of people are going to say, well, you know, I agree with everything she's saying. I agree with everything she's saying. The problem of it is she's just going to take votes away from the Republican candidate, and he may not be the best, but he's better than Chucky, anybody is. And as an independent, she doesn't have a chance. But the reality is this, that there actually are more independent voters out there than there are Republicans or Democrats, okay?
That's
right,
true.
Especially in New
That's
York.
That's true.
And so,
yes. And also, I would say that a lot of Democrats have had it, and they're not going to vote Republican. And I'll give you another example. The New York Post had a poll which said that 52% of the voters would vote against Schumer. They didn't name a candidate. 52% of the people would vote against Schumer. If it were Schumer versus the Republican nominee, Joe Pinion, Schumer would get 51% and Pinion would get 36%. It would be by straight party lines in the state, right? So it's just not the case. Schumer is terrified of my candidacy because I intend to bring up these issues like his push for drug legalization. He nominally Jewish, is funding Nazis in Ukraine. He should answer for that. You know, why are we supporting a Nazi regime which marches around with swastikas? You know, this is what he's supporting. These things have to be raised. And what I'm hoping is, by having so many volunteers, as we demonstrated with the successful petitioning campaign, that by word of mouth, by circulating literature, I published a monthly newspaper because I knew that the social media and other things could be controlled. So in a sense, my campaign is very real. It's there. Exactly. In the streets, with the literature, with the signs, with and person-to-person organizing.
Well, that's why we have you here tonight. Yep. We want to help you in this. We can, you know, we have to stand up. We have to fight back. And, you know, you mentioned before, you were talking about Britain. Let me just read you an article here. London mayor suggests Brits will starve and freeze this winter unless they take preparedness measures. Now, so here, mass starvation is coming to the United Kingdom, along with people freezing inside their unheated homes, unless the government comes up with a solution, according to London Mayor Sadiq Khan. In a tweet, Khan said that he has seen nothing like this before, reserving specifically to runaway food price inflation, soaring energy costs, supply shortages, and other supply chain problems. We're facing a winter where, for millions, it won't be about choosing between heating or eating, but tragically being able to afford neither. This can happen, he added, nothing that the British government needs to step in so that people can meet their basic needs. So let me just ask it, should people be concerned? As long as the Queen and the Prime Minister and the royal, as long as they have plenty of food and heat, should the people? I mean, should they mind having high gas prices, which is much higher than even here, or having to give up all of this so that the AOC, you know, and the squat and Bernie Sanders and the environmental wackos, and I mean wackos, okay, so that they can be happy because they're not going to starve, right?
Well, what do you think? The royals aren't.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll let the royals starve or these trillionaires. No, and I'll tell you, I think this is why they want to destroy the electoral process. Because if you're going to impose starvation and freezing in the dark on people, you don't want them to have a voice. So you destroy the electoral process so that people have no means to express their grievances or to organize otherwise.
I've said in meetings, Diane, with the World Health Organization, the Sierra Club, Planned Predators, and the ACLU, and when none of them knew who I was, and they would conduct their meetings. Now, I can't do that now because today they know who I am, and they actually would have people looking for me. But I've said in their meetings when they spoke openly, and they bragged about ways to depopulate the planet. And, you know, they were talking about, for example, they cheered when they talked about how in Africa that Gates' vaccine had these girls that had this Joe, help me out with that.
STD of some kind, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's papilloma. Yeah,
papilloma virus.
Yeah, how 8 times as many young girls died from the vaccine that died from the virus, and they cheered about this, and so this
is just like COVID.
Yeah, it's all a part of depopulating. Yeah,
it is. You know, Henry Kissinger actually wrote a memorandum which was only declassified in the 90s. It was called NSSM 200, National Security Study Memorandum 200, and people can look it up. And in this memorandum, he named 14 nations, and he was very explicit. He said population growth is a national security threat because nations who grow in their population are going to become politically influential, and they're going to consume their own resources. They won't be so open to have us come in and grab everything. And therefore, he said, we should use food as a weapon. We should do involuntary sterilizations. It's all there in black and white. It's a 1975 paper. Nazi-like policies, really. And I think I want to tell you both something because I think you'll find this very interesting. It's a little on the heavy side, but in terms of Lyndon LaRouche, who I worked with for so many years before he passed away in 2019, he wrote a book called So You Wish to Learn All About Economics. And he said, the first law of economics is in Genesis. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and replenish the earth, however your exact wording or translation is. And he said that's the whole essence of physical economy, that what human beings can do, which no other species can do, is we make it possible for more people to live on a given area of land per square mile at a higher standard of living. Right. And you can measure that if you think about the difference between burning wood and nuclear power. How much more energy do you get? What can you do with more energy? What can you extract from the earth? Can you irrigate the desert? Can you desalinate water? This beautiful quality of optimism and that is actual physical economy. So when you do and when you make a breakthrough in energy density, that means you can sustain more people with the same resources because you figured out a way to use those resources more efficiently. Now, as soon as you go backwards, like what's happening in Europe with the sanctions, where Germany, Poland, Lithuania, they're literally giving out licenses to people to cut down the forests because they're not going to have oil or gas, so they're going to burn wood. When you go backwards and you go back to a less efficient form of energy from a more advanced form of energy, then you're also lowering the number of people you can sustain. You're actually going to increase the death rate.
Well, that's the purpose. That's exactly their goal.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
That's the goal,
exactly. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. Right.
We've been telling the truth on that, Diane. In fact, a couple of nights ago, I was talking about how 100 years ago, about 500,000 people a year died from climate problems, events. The last decade, it was 18,000 people a year. Last year, it was 7,000 a year died from climate. As our technology improves, death has gone down. So
right.
If you look at that, we've had... But you break it up between heat and cold, 4.5 million in the last 9 years died from cold, but only 500,000 died from problems with heat. So you can tell there's a huge difference between 500,000 and 4.5 million between the planet being too cold or too hot. And like you said, the answer to all this is innovation, desalinization. The fact is, Rio came up with a way to desalinate the ocean water very well to irrigate, and they tried to give it to all their Arab neighbors, and none of them wanted it. In fact, the United States didn't even take their plans. They were trying to give the world this plan free, and nobody took it. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. We did this on the radio. Remember, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, I also remember what she's talking about going back to 1975, I believe, that... That if I remember right, Seth Galbraith and myself discussed what Henry Kissinger had to say that when that stuff came out. But you're
he
right.
He also famously said, "I never mix morality with politics."
Yeah,
how do you like that?
You know, I've got to do a breaking story because it ties in, Diane, with something you were talking about, the election and critical the truth. If people would go to the Gateway Pundit, they have a two series investigation in the findings of the Detroit Dropbox surveillance videos from the 2020 election. And I was looking at that today, and they have a whole series of these. It kind of backs up everything that we were talking about in the movie 2000 Mules. And they've got, this is all brand new footage, and it's something we can't show, but they've got a 13-minute video, and they've got it broken down into different people in different sections, and you can actually sit there and watch these people come, and, you know, this one woman watched her, came in, had about 50 ballots. Another woman, they were both wearing masks, took pictures, videotaped her for proof. And here's more and more. Every time, every week goes by, we find more and more truth that the election was crooked, especially mail-in ballots and what you were talking about. We need to go back to one person, one vote. Do it in person where you ID yourself, and you can't cheat. But everybody has, you know, make sure everybody has a way to vote, but only one vote.
Yeah, we played that clip, Joe, a part of it in the... There was a problem with it. I mean, the video was really good. The problem of it, when they were showing you these people dropping these stuff off. In fact, guess who? Some of those were postal workers.
Mules or from the Gateway Pundit one.
Yeah. That video that you were talking about, the 13-minute video.
Yeah.
And well, what happened was, in the 2000 Mules, it's different because you can see, you can watch it, and then. When we try to play it on the radio, though, what happened is when you're watching these people drop the things up, they're just showing that, and then it's silence, and people
right, no
can't
commentary. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a problem that we had. But here's another one. Flashback.
People. We got this mixed Michigan team out there went through thousands of hours of security camera footage to put this together to show the cheating, but the whole point is people can go there to the Gateway Pundit. There's part one and part two of the what you would just call the even postal workers cheating. So you can go there and ask to see it for yourselves and the people in New York. In fact, it's something you might be able to put a link on your website, Diane, where they can go and look at that stuff. And to me, it was really powerful to watch these people come in and cheat. And, the picture doesn't lie. It's worth $10,000.
Well, here's the thing, Joe.
Postal worker come in, yeah. Handfuls of ballots.
Joe, we have sent out over 300 of those 2,000 mules now. And for the folks out there listening to us, I know that you have been waiting on yours. Well, we haven't been able to get them, but they just notified me that they've got them now, and they're going to be shipping them to us fairly soon. In other words, they had hoped to reach to be able to send out 2 million, but they've gone over 22 million. Over 22 million now at the last, so it's probably by now up to 24 million since I talked to them last. Now think about that. So these 2,000 mules, if just two people watched each video, you know, that would be 44 million people out there that have seen this. And this is killing the fake news media, NBC, ABC, CBS, that really, and Fox News. It really put a big dent in their credibility they had left. But here's an article, flashback. Never forget the big lie. Democrats stole the manufactured votes from poor white people to throw the election to Joe Biden. In 2020, President Trump won more votes than any sitting president in U.S. history. Trump increased his total votes by 12 million votes in 2020 over 2016. Biden won a record low number of counties in the 2020 election by an alleged winner, only 16%. President Trump won the Hispanic votes. President Trump won more female votes. President Trump won more black votes. President Trump won more sodomite votes, and President Trump won more immigrant votes. But somehow, Democratic Joe Biden, or Joe Obama as we call him, who did not campaign and who can barely string two sentences together, supposedly won 81 million votes. The same guy who can't get 20 people to come out and see him when he travels around the U.S. today. So how did Joe do it? How did the Democrats steal the 2020 election from Joe Biden? We know how Democrats used several means to score illegal votes in several states. We witnessed them counting ballots behind closed doors, bringing in endless piles of ballots day after day after the election, locking Republicans out of the counting rooms, pulling boxes of ballots out from under tables. When all the observers were sent home, driving in van loads of ballots in the early hours of the morning after Joe Biden fell far behind. And, you know, Diane, we watched them invert the numbers right in front of our eyes. We watched them flip when Trump was way ahead come midnight, and all of a sudden, boom. And, you know, this is where Fox News, Brett Baer, and a number of them, they lost all their credibility when they joined the echo chamber and said, where's the evidence, when they know. Mm-hmm. And here all of that evidence is in that 20 or 2,000 mules. They refuse to look at it. Fox News refused to play it. And so
wouldn't touch it, wouldn't interview anybody, nothing.
Yep. So,
well, what's interesting to me is that even with these incredible blackouts and attempts at censorship, how many people are finding their way to know what is true or not? I find that very heartening.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open the phone lines and I'd like, especially from folks from New York, in New York to call, especially New York. And so if we can open the phone lines and with any questions for you, with Diane Sayre, who is she's running against Chuckie Schumer, and she can beat him if you folks out there help him. If there's enough of you out there that will help her, you can beat Chuckie Schumer. He thinks he's got it all tied up, okay? Well, he's probably got his deal with the deep state, you know. But The number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We especially would like New York callers tonight. New York callers. All righty. Here you go. Tens of thousands protest in Prague against skyrocketing energy prices. They're doing, like you said, the same thing like in Germany. They're cutting down their forests for firewood. Mm-hmm. Prime Minister calls them pro-Russian extremists. Now, Western leaders...
I guess he's taking a page from Biden, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Western leaders from U.S., Canada, and Germany, the U.K., and Czech Republic are determined to sacrifice their people at the altar of globalism and in the war in Ukraine. You know, we talked about that here. That whole thing in the Ukraine is not like what you're hearing. We've been bringing the information which you talked about, the Zog, the Nazis over there.
Yes, the Azov Battalion. The Azov Battalion.
And so here, and not only that, but... their president, this guy was a drag queen.
Yes, Zelensky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now they're comparing him to Winston Churchill. It's an amazing thing, isn't it?
It is amazing. It is amazing.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is run from London, D.C., and NATO. The Ukrainian government really doesn't exist. Even Zelensky actually tried on two different occasions to negotiate an agreement with Russia to save his country and stop the slaughter. And NATO and Boris Johnson, in the second case in April, Boris Johnson personally intervened to make sure Zelensky would not negotiate. We'll send you more weapons. We'll send you more troops. We'll send you anything you want. Don't negotiate. You should fight the Russians till the last Ukrainian is dead.
And well, you know, here you have Austin and Milley doing everything they can to weaken and destroy our military. And they're sending all of our ammunition over there to Ukraine, but it's not being used in the fight. It's being sold on the black market.
Yes.
And you know, people in this country, anyhow, let's take some calls. Who do we have?
We got Will in Long Island.
Okay, we got Will in Long Island. Will, you're in the air.
Yes, I would pretty much vote for any Republican in New York right now. So, you know, unfortunately, I'd like to hear more about, you know, your plans and you know, what you could do for New York, considering you'd be a senator. But I just don't see how any Republican can beat the Democrat machine in New York. We literally have a bunch of uneducated constituents that vote for free stuff. And as long as the Democrats promise free stuff to use our tax dollars to buy votes, it's almost impossible for a Republican at this point in New York to win. Almost even the congressional seats. You know, out here on the island, they could pick up a couple because we're red in a lot of areas. If we were our own state, you could certainly be a senator here. But the rest of the state, considering what they've done to New York City, how can you win?
Well, first, I'm not a Republican. I'm running as an independent, and I think that's actually very good in this time because the Democratic Party has totally abandoned people, and they're actually not handing out free stuff except maybe drugs. I mean, this is the thing that's so wild. They are rather blunt about the destruction that they're going to bring on with their Green New Deal and everything else, and people have been so brainwashed they may tend to go for it. But I'll tell you what we found in the petitioning, because I want to give you a sense of this. We met people like one African-American woman coming out of the grocery store, and she said, I am a registered Democrat. I have voted Democratic my entire life, and I just paid $148 for two bags of groceries, and I couldn't even buy meat, and I am never voting for a Democrat ever again.
Okay, just real quick, not to interrupt. However,
yeah.
I'm a registered independent. I have been a registered independent since 1994. Okay? So, you know, that's great, but I look at it this way. If they're not handing out free stuff, well, I could get into all the free stuff they actually are handing out, between the Section 8, between the increased entitlement programs in New York State, the increased Medicaid that's going out to, you know, people that aren't even citizens, actually, that actually other states are busing to us, and we're still people care of all of them. Food stamps and EBT and SNAP has all been increased to the point where it's driving up food prices. I'm competing with my own food prices by paying for your basket and my basket. I watch people throwing filet mignon in their cart at the supermarket, paying with an EBT card while I have to pay, who works very hard and pays $20,000 a year in property tax. I have to buy ground beef and chuck steak because I can't afford to compete with the people that are getting free stuff. So I do disagree a little bit that they're not handing out free stuff. They're just not handing it out to people like me. The people that have contributed nothing and have no tax liability.
I'll tell you, I was just at the Jacob Riis buildings this evening. Do you know what's going on there?
No. Is it a NYCHA building?
Yes. Yeah. They have arsenic in their water. They just discovered arsenic in the water.
The bureaucratic New York State that hands out free stuff can't get their Section 8 right and winds up giving tons of money to landlords that don't take care of their properties. And because now they wind up with arsenic or they wind up with no heat, so now somehow what, they're going to need more money to fix a problem that they couldn't fix with all the money that they have to begin with? You know, that's a very, you know, I know that you're an independent.
But I'm telling you, this is 400,000 people, many of whom vote if they think there's someone to vote for. A lot of these people have so given up, they've been screwed over so many times that they just don't vote. But if they were to vote, they would vote for someone like myself because I'm there and talking to them. And I cannot tell you how things have shifted in parts of the city where they used to like Chuck Schumer, and now they say, you know what, this guy comes, he shows up, he gets his face on the camera whenever a building burns down or we have a disaster, and then he's nowhere to be seen. And the remedy to the problems that are being caused never appears. And
right,
this
so
is, again, there's no substitute.
Shift,
what?
If they decide to shift and get rid of Chuck Schumer, okay, you don't think it'll be his retirement and another Democrat poised to take the position, like an AOC type candidate? Do you think anybody, and I don't know where you stand on fiscal conservatism, I have no idea if just because you're an independent, if that means that you're not going to say fixing the NYCHA problem will be by adding more bureaucracy and handing out more billions of more dollars, because that's not
let me tell you something.
They weren't able to do it that way anyway.
We've had a communistic system in our bailout of Wall Street. We have spent $23 trillion plus bailing out people like Jeffrey Epstein, which is what that culture is down there.
That's not necessarily where the $23 trillion went. Yes, we bailed out Wall Street, but Wall Street, a lot of those companies paid back their bailouts. A lot of the
AIG.
You know who's not going to back their bailout? I'll tell you who's not. AIG, Hank Greenberg walked out with $69 billion, and AIG, with their ties to our municipalities, just...
We got to move on right now. Who do we have next?
We got Ed.
Ed, you're in the air.
Hello. It's hard to follow that first caller, but nevertheless, to this woman that's running for office, to her praise, I would say that I think she has good intentions. I would say that she brought up something very important concerning the Ukraine, which is, I think, one of the most important things that are going on, because the globalists continue to meddle in the Russians' backyard, trying to make people feel sorry for a very corrupt Ukraine government, a coordination that people are lining their pockets with our taxpayer dollars that are going into all kind of bailouts and everything in between. And I think it's something that needs to be addressed, talked about, that the media is just not doing and could cause the whole world in the blink of an eye to change in a heartbeat.
All right. Could you hear him, Diane?
I heard the end, and he's completely correct. And I would say today I just took part in a very incredible press conference because I am actually on a blacklist, which, as some have said correctly, is a kill list, that you have the center. And I have had to change everything that I do to protect my security because our Congress voted, Schumer and Gillibrand and everyone else voted to fund this totalitarian, unbelievably corrupt government, but it's really not them. It is run by what you call the deep state here, the British and NATO, and they put out a list of so-called Russian propagandists, and they are calling us information terrorists and war criminals. And Scott Ritter, who you may know, UN, former UN weapons inspector who blew the whistle on the non-existent weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, made the point that this is a kill list. And he said it's a crime against the Constitution for our Congress to fund a foreign agency, which is stomping on the First Amendment rights of Americans and putting their lives in danger, and particularly for Schumer to be doing this when I am running against him, to put me on this list. And what we were discussing is exactly this problem. You can't tell the truth. After the press conference, I had an interview with a very active woman from Harlem who's run for city council and various things. And we get on and she's doing a TikTok live interview. And she said, Diane, I really want you to talk about Ukraine because I used to believe the propaganda. And now I realize this is a very bad situation and it's not what it appears. And so we started to get into it. And suddenly the TikTok shut down and the little, you know, emergency light sign came on and it said, your live stream has been ended. Then they shut down her entire TikTok account and said it was on account of us spreading hate speech. So we have a censorship regime in place, and people know it. You had Donald Trump, president of the United States, thrown off of Twitter, his main way of communicating with his supporters, just weeks before the election. So it is a real challenge in this country to get out the truth. But again, I have been heartened by how many Americans are seeing through it. They're figuring it out, and they say things that catch you off guard. I was speaking at a boxing club in the Bronx, and I brought up the Buffalo shooter having the black sun tattooed or on his body armor. And someone said, yeah, that's the same thing as the Azov Battalion. This is a high school Puerto Rican, you know, in a boxing club in the Bronx. And he knew about the Azov Battalion.
Well, they find out about these things from programs like this. We're the ones that we've been talking about that for a long time, and we're going to continue. In fact, we have a lot of really good stuff scheduled to come up. Who do we have next? Okay, let's go with Joe. Joe, you're in the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, this is Joe from Staten Island. I meant to call you. I tried to call you last week. A couple of quick facts. Andrew Cuomo made an announcement, wanted all conservatives out of New York State. That might have been 2 years ago. But the reason I called, this Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis is a rhino. She supports abortion. They keep it quiet. And she's a flip-flopper. She was going to do something about the MTA with this black hole of a terrific amount of money, and it's being wasted and stolen. And what they do, they take billions of dollars. They shut the whole railroad and subway system down. the biggest country in biggest city in the world, in the country rather, and all the people that use the system are just screwed, you know, and they just shut it down because they don't train their employees properly. I worked on two railroads. I was a locomotive engineer. And what they do, it's all about their on-time record and also their safety record for the management. So she's a flip-flopper. She's bad news. It's all about her, you know. And I just turned your show on tonight about 11:15. So I heard some of what this lady you have on is saying. She sounds good. But I was probably one of the first independents there were that left the Republican Party. And the reason being is they don't fight them. They don't fight them. So that's where we're at here, that we got nobody to vote for. But I am not voting for Nicole Malliowakis. I call her Malliowakis. She's nothing but trouble. She's a rhino. She's for abortion. And this railroad tunnel between New York and New Jersey, the Pennsylvania Railroad made 6 tunnels. It took them 4 years. It might have been 1903, okay? England and France,
1907.
They did it in 3 years, the tunnel. This tunnel, they admitted, from Manhattan to Jersey, will take at least 24 years. I say they can't do it. If this country doesn't collapse from bankruptcy, it's going to happen because of this damn tunnel for a dying town that should die. This damn Manhattan should die. So what do you think about that?
Go ahead, Diane.
Well, look, as I was starting to say to the other fellow, we have a kind of a sickness, which people measure everything in terms of money. And what they don't look at is the question of productivity or the power of the individual producer. That is, obviously, if you're a welder and you have electricity, you can get a lot more done than if you're a welder and you don't have electricity, or your plumber with no indoor. In other words, you have to give human beings the power to transform nature. And money is only an instrument of credit. It has no intrinsic value whatsoever. So we have all these games. Look what they're saying now about the hyperinflation. We're going to lower interest rates. We're going to raise interest rates. Both of them will kill you. The only thing that solves hyperinflation is you have to increase your production of physical goods, not pornography and not, you know, pot shops and all this other crap, but actual physical production, infrastructure, things in the real world. And that will get rid of inflation, and that will create the conditions where we could be, which people can't even imagine right now. And I don't know how old you are, but there was a time in the United States. Okay, so you may have a glimmer of when it was possible for one person working 40 hours a week to support a family of 4, 5, or 6 people, that your rent or your mortgage was paid in 1 week's pay, that with 2 weeks' pay, you basically covered all your expenses and you had money to set aside or put into college or whatever, vacation. Forget it. Today, people, the more you work, the more in debt you are, unless, you know, you're some billionaire crook or something. So everything is insane. It's all upside
down.
Well,
they made the borrowing of the money too easy, and they pushed the money. And another thing, I was in business over 30 years. With these houses and property in New York and other places in the country, they have created a falsified economy. They kept purposely pushing up the prices of the houses. Refinance. Well, let me tell you what. I never got married and had kids. It makes me so mad. These kids don't have a chance. A house should be a new house, $200,000. That would make sense. There are a million.
Right.
There are 1,200,000 in New
York. No, you're totally correct. Absolutely.
Insanity.
That's absolutely correct. And see who
and
that
man from Long Island hit it on the head. But you can't. You got to stop the waste of the money. And that's the big thing, because it's easy money for them, and it's not their money.
Right. And well, and think about what they're, look what they're doing to the farmers. The farmers are getting paid almost the same amount they got paid in the 60s. And what are their expenses? Who's making all the money? The middlemen. right? The Wall Street traders, the people selling the derivatives, the farmers are going broke. And you, when you go to the store to buy the food, you're going broke. And the guys in the middle are looting all of us. And that's what has to stop. And we have certain problems, right? The Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve is a private bank. It's totally unconstitutional. It should be, we should take it over, and it has to become a national bank that's run as our Constitution says, which is by the Congress. And then we're going to have to clean out the Congress, obviously, which is why I'm running for U.S. Senate. But I'm telling you, we're on the cusp of something big. This demonstration in Prague that we were just hearing about with tens of thousands of people in the streets. And I'll tell you, in the Czech Republic, if you say anything positive about Russia, you go to jail. So it's not like they have a free country there. You had tens of thousands of people in the streets saying no more sanctions, no more NATO. And it was everybody from the anti-immigrant whatever to the Communist Party. Everybody said, hey, you know what? We all need food. We all need energy. This policy sucks, and we're in the streets.
Alrighty.
I think we're not that far from that here, hopefully, but it has to be principled, and it has to be nonviolent.
All right, thank you. Who do we have next? Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. I want to bring up two quick things. First, I'm doing this audio book, The Neuroscience of You, and they say the right side of the brain, according to this woman, interesting book, focuses on big picture. The left hemisphere is like the trees and not the forest. Now, if you look at Chuck Schumer, this guy would never talk like you're talking. He would never go off his own reservation. He's very similar to Adam Schiff. The guy is a wind-up doll. You would never have him saying a thing you're saying. He would never even talk in that realm. He's stuck on a fifth grade reading level in terms of how he talks, and he never veers, never. So the guy's a wind-up doll, so that's one thing. So it's just refreshing to hear someone like you talk as compared to him. Now, the second thing is, look at this drug thing. Now, a girl from here on Long Island was starting her freshman classes in Alabama. This past weekend, she supposedly never used cocaine. Someone handed her cocaine at a party. It was laced with fentanyl, and she dropped dead on the spot. Now, how can someone like Schumer, in a practical sense, promote drugs like cocaine and marijuana, where the stuff is now being laced with fentanyl, and it's like playing with Russian roulette?
Yeah, he's a total liar. And I don't know if you've seen his press conferences, because he says none of the horribles ever happened. That's his exact line. None of the horribles happened when states like Colorado, by the way, the legislature in Colorado passed legislation that they now want to do a study on how much damage they've done with their stupid drug legalization. And let me be very clear, because some people say, oh, well, they've put so many Schumer pretends that he's talking about decriminalization. Oh, we had a terrible war on drugs. We put all these people in jail. No, what he is pushing, these pot shops, the dispensaries, and it sounds like you already know, they have 99% THC in gummy bears and lollipops. New York State already has had a six-fold increase in children going to the emergency room because of marijuana, because of these dispensaries. And we haven't even got going. I mean, this is just the first year. It is mass murder. He doesn't give a damn. And it's just to capture the income stream, because there's two parts to the legislation. There's the pot shops and dispensaries. And then there's Nadler's legislation, which is to make it legal for all of the drug money to be officially in the system. Not that it's not there already, but to make it part of the economy. So it's
all right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Cliff. We are running out of time for tonight. Joe, you have 4 minutes. Do you think you can give an invitation in 4 minutes?
Yes, I can. I want to start with reading Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 17 through 19. Therefore, if any man or woman be be in Christ. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Kind of a beautiful way of explaining being a born-again believer. God sent his only begotten Son down to take your place, my place, upon the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. The wages of sin, God said, is death. He sent his Son Jesus to cleanse us of our sin by making himself the Lamb of God, the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. And the Apostle said, John the Baptist said. So if we want to accept the sacrifice that Christ made for us, it's called becoming a born-again believer. We pray to the Father. We ask to be forgiven of those sins, our sins that caused Christ to have to go to the cross and die. We ask to be forgiven. And then we ask his Son, his only begotten Son, to be Lord of our life. That we want to give ourselves to him, make him our Lord, without any question, without reservation, without hesitation. And then we can ask him for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is our spiritual baptism. The water baptism is our symbol to the world. But our real baptism is spiritual by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that is how we become this new creature. All the old things in us are passed away. We become a new child of the kingdom, a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. And we are now sons and daughters of the living God himself. We are adopted in by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The greatest thing that you can ever do is give yourself eternal life. Nobody can help you. Nobody can do it for you. You have to do it because you truly repent of your sins and you want to ask to become a child of the kingdom. You want Jesus to be your Lord. You will never regret it. I've never met a born-again believer who had any reservations or regrets of being born again. And you will find your life is much filled with joy, happiness, and peace. And until it happens, you won't believe me, but you will know it.
Joe, we're out of time. Diane, I want to thank you for being with us here. And we want to continue to try to help you up between now and November.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you, Joe. That was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was what the boss expects.
Yeah. Joe's not beautiful, though, I can tell you. All right. There you go. Right. So
it has been said I have the face for radio.
All righty. I know what you mean, Joe. I'm right there with you. Diane, again, thank you for being here with us, and we'll do this again. Let's keep in touch and keep me informed on how things are going out there with you.
Okay. Okay, so, I shall. Thank you so much.
All right. And we're at that point, Joe. I do want to remind the folks, our prayer breakfast tomorrow morning, Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry. Also in the afternoon, and until tomorrow. We've got a good program coming up tomorrow, too, I believe. So until then, we want to say good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, keep fighting the fight.
Fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.